Hi, I'm Bill Carmody, and I'm the Marketing Whisperer. You know, I've saved Fortune 500 companies millions of dollars, but it's much more meaningful for me to help you, because for you, this is life-changing. For them, it's expected. When I was 12 years old, my parents asked me to come in and have a conversation with them, and you know, that's never good, right? They sat me down, and they completely rocked my world when they told me that they were getting divorced. And at that moment, it was devastating. I was in a place of sheer panic. What am I gonna do? How do we survive? What's gonna happen? And I know it's a little crazy, but even at 12 years old, I decided right then and there, I need to be the man of the house. I need to step up. And you know, as crazy as that might sound, it really forced me to transition from being a kid to being a young adult at a very early age. Where's the money coming from? What am I gonna do? So my solution was to start a couple of companies. The first thing I did is I got a paper out. And that was great at first because it was definite income that was coming into the family. But what I realized was that there was just not that much variability in that actual income, and I need to do something more. And so the first thing that I did is I realized that I could add more value by delivering the paper to the doorstep, right? And I figured that if I could do that, that I could earn more tips and make more money. And it was great. A lot of the other paper boys were throwing the paper into the driveway. I figured out what my customers really needed was to not show up in their bathrobes trying to get the paper from the driveway, but instead to be able to just reach out, get it, and be on with their day. And so that was a great first lesson for me. But then I really realized that the money wasn't in the operations or the delivery business. It was in the sales side of the business. And so I quickly transitioned from being a paper boy to being a door-to-door salesperson. Now that might sound crazy, like why would you want to do that? But what was amazing for me was the ability to really understand people. There were different audiences. There were students, there were young adults, there were parents, there were retired folks, that everyone had sort of a different reason that they might need a newspaper. And so I worked on objection handling and I figured out exactly what I needed to do to survive and to grow and thrive. And I'll tell you, the business lessons that I learned as a paperboy and then as a salesperson, I'm still using today. I mean, in fact, in a couple of years, I went from just being a door-to-door salesperson to being one of the fastest growing top salespeople in my region. And understanding sort of what makes people tick was my secret to success. I would be able to understand exactly what the person's needs were, and I'd be able to make sure that I gave them exactly what they're looking for. And you see, I want to share these things with you because those lessons are invaluable to me and have helped me to create some really successful businesses. As TradePoint right now, we've been on the Inc. 5000 list two years in a row, and we were named by Entrepreneur Magazine as one of the top entrepreneurial companies. But it didn't start out that way. It started from very humble beginnings. And I know what you're going through. I know that you've put it all on the line to basically start your business. I know how important that is to you, and I know it's riding on your success. And so that's why that drives me. I want to make sure that I'm helping you to be successful, and I want to share with you what I've learned. You see, I've been whispering in the ears of CEOs and CMOs for many, many years, and the advice that I've given them have helped them make millions of dollars and save millions of dollars. But you know what? If I can do that for you, it's so much more meaningful. And I want to share exactly the story that got me to this point. You see, but throughout my entire career, I really, really enjoyed working with the Fortune 500. It's been a really, really fun experience. But you know, you start to realize what you're doing or what you're not doing to help make the world a better place. And I'll tell you, the tipping point for me was when I received a phone call. And one of my big Fortune 100 clients had asked me to check into something. They had hired an agency to do some work and they weren't really sure that they were going to get it done correctly, right? So they said, will you please evaluate them and tell us if they're on the right track? They had this really, really cool project. They really wanted to do something to humanize the face of big data. But the agency that they hired was really great at storytelling, but they were not great at building apps, promoting apps, and successfully deploying the marketing that would be required in order to make this a very successful campaign. And so I told my client as much. I explained, I said, look, these guys are fantastic storytellers, but you've had them sort of in the wrong seat on the bus. And they appreciated my perspective and they said, thanks, but you know, we're gonna continue on down the path. So they heard me. 6 months later, I get a phone call, right? I'm in the parking lot, it's 10 p.m. on a Friday night. Honestly, I thought it was a butt dial. I thought it was a total mistake and that they were essentially just, you know, it was an accidental phone call. But no, what had happened is exactly as I had predicted, they were struggling. 6 months into the project, they were supposed to have over 1 million app downloads. And you know what? They only had about 3,000. And what's even worse is that they were having their chief marketing officer do a press conference the following Tuesday. And if they came back and sort of shared the results that they'd had, it would have been a total black eye. So they said, look, we know this is last minute. Can you help us? And of course, man, that's where I thrive. I love those impossible challenges. I think it's so much fun. When everyone else says they can't possibly do something, I am just so fired up. I'm like, okay, how could we do this? What could we do? How could we turn this Herculean effort into something amazing? And so I did. I said, challenge accepted. Let's do this. And we fixed the app that was broken. We reposted it. We found out that there was really no reason for the people that they wanted to have download the app on their phones. There was just nothing there. There wasn't a direct benefit. So we immediately changed that by bringing in a charity partner so that for every app that was downloaded, we gave a dollar to that charity. We promoted the hell out of the app and found ways to sort of get a way to get people to download it, not just for the charity, but also over time, you know, what was really making them engage and sort of provide, be part of this story. And as we sort of fine tune this, what we were able to do is we were able to turn it around. We were able to go from just 3,000 app downloads to over 122,000 app downloads within 72 hours. At the time, that was unheard of. And more importantly, we determined exactly what the cost per download would be. And so we could have scaled that as far as they wanted to go. And you know, I was expecting this thing to be just like, oh my God, thank you so much. It was amazing. But you know, yes, they were appreciative of what was done, but it was sort of like, thanks, man, cool. On to the next project. And that was the moment for me. And that's when I realized, you know what? This is just standard fare. You know, companies will get themselves into a tight spot and they'll hire someone to come rescue them and do something else. And then it's business as usual. But if I could do this amazing feat for a Fortune 100 company, why couldn't I do it for small businesses? Help entrepreneurs, share the stories, share the learnings, understand exactly what needs to be done so that you can benefit from all the great insights, right? And I feel like if you can take what I'm teaching you and you can apply it to your business, you're gonna see just dramatic impact. You're gonna see a complete sea change in your organization. And to me, that's really worth doing because I know that you stay every day, you work as hard as you possibly can to build a business. You're a hero, man. and every time you get up in the day, you're putting everything on the line. You know what's at stake, your family, your reputation. I mean, you are putting it all out there. And so I want to help you. This is why I started this podcast. As the marketing whisperer, I've been whispering in the ears of chief marketing officers and CEOs for decades. But now I want to whisper in your ear. I want to talk to you about what you need to do from a marketing perspective to be massively successful. And so in the next segment, I'm going to show you, while everything you've learned about marketing is wrong, and the three things that you can do today that will make an immediate difference. So I really want you to stick around because this stuff is going to change your life. When you realize that what you've been chasing from a marketing perspective is the wrong thing, you know, you might kick yourself, but don't. Because the truth is that most people are doing it wrong. And because most people are sort of following that herd mentality, you know, it's no wonder that they're struggling. So what I want to do is I want to help you think different. I want to help you think about marketing in a way that's really going to drive your business. Things are going to make really immediate impact so that you can look at this and say, this is money well spent. These are great investments. So like I said, coming up next, we're going to talk about why everything you learned in marketing is wrong and the three things you can do today that will make an immediate difference. Stick around. Welcome back. This is Bill Carmody, and you're listening to The Marketing Whisperer. And I'm going to tell you why everything you learned about marketing is wrong. Okay? And then I'm going to give you three practical tips on what you can do to get started today. So the three tips are very simple. Number one, I want you to tell your story. Number two, I want you to get crystal clear on who your ideal customer is. And number three, I want you to start obsessing on delivering tremendous value to that ideal customer. Now, hold on. When I say everything you've learned about marketing is wrong, that is a bold-ass statement. Why do I say this? Because you see, when most people go into marketing or they hire somebody to do their media plans and they think about sort of ways in which to interrupt customers and stop them from doing what they were doing and setting out to do and try to tell them their story, right? Buy my stuff. And the thing is, marketing has changed so dramatically in the last few years that anyone who's still using that broadcast-based mentality where it's trying to shove a message down your throat, it's gonna fall on deaf ears. More importantly, you're gonna alienate the people, the very people you're trying to attract. And so I want you to understand that the way that most businesses think about marketing is how can I sell as much as humanly possible and how do I use marketing to drive as much awareness and demand for my products? And at its core, that by itself, you know, if marketing doesn't sell, it isn't effective, right? So I agree with that premise. But the way you go about getting someone to buy your product is totally different today because it's not a broadcast-based mentality. It's not take a message and yell as loud as you humanly can in order to get someone to pay attention. So instead, the first thing that I want you to do is to tell your story. You see, your story matters. Why you do what you do is just as important as how you do it. Simon Sinek, if you haven't seen his TED Talk, it's a great thing. People are more interested in why you do what you do than how you do it, right? People buy why you do it, not what you do. And so when you continue to sort of think about your why, telling your story is the reason that you are in business. You know, getting to understand specifically, crystal clear, why are you in business? And if your answer is to just make money, you're in business for the wrong reasons, right? It's fine to make money as a business. You should be profitable. But if you have a real reason that you set out to do what you do, you need to share that. You need to help people understand why you do, why what you do matters, right? Because people want you to succeed. And the more you can get crystal clear on the value that you deliver, how you're helping your community, what you're doing that is larger than yourself, you become a servant leader. And as you do more for your community, the more your community will support you. And telling your story is about understanding your higher purpose and saying, look, yes, I do need to make money because my business needs to grow, but that's a byproduct of my real mission. What's that real mission, right? Why do you do what you do? When you get crystal clear on telling your story, you're going to be able to differentiate yourself from the nameless other companies out there that are just pushing their product. Instead of just trying to share your product and service, you really need to help people understand why they should support you. And believe me, you have a story. You have something that's really, really valuable, and you just need to share it. It's about being vulnerable. It's about going out there and telling it like it is, right? So that's the first thing that I need you to do. Tell your story. The second thing I need you to do is to get crystal clear on your ideal customer. Not all customers are created equal, and you're spending way too much time on the customers that don't matter. How do I know this? Because most businesses are trying to survive, and so they're growing by casting a giant wide net. You're trying to do everything in your power to be able to get as many people to just jump in and participate and buy your products and services. But what you realize is you're not following the Pareto principle, which states that 20% of your customers are responsible for 80% of your profit. If you do the math, you're going to realize you do have a small, tight-knit number of customers that are growing your profits. And then you spend 80% of your time on the others that are essentially not driving your profits. And because of that, you're not having the time to really provide the needs to your ideal customer. So you got to listen to them. You got to start asking them what they really need. And you need to connect on an emotional level. You need to be able to understand what your best customers' needs are and anticipate them. The best partner in business is like a butler, right? They anticipate your needs and they get there before you need, you even know you need them. I think that's what's brilliant about this, is that when you get crystal clear on your ideal customer, you can start to understand exactly what their needs are and how you can support them. Where do you fit into the overall mix? You know, and it doesn't matter what business you're in. In every business, if you understand the needs of your customer, you can really, really support them and grow with them over time. And as their needs change, because they will change, you can change with them, but only if you listen to them. If you're out there just trying to toot your own horn and do your thing and sort of do what's always worked in the past, you're eventually going to get disrupted. And unless you basically are listening day in and day out to what those needs are of your ideal customer, you're not going to know when those needs change. But if you are spending an exorbitant amount of time focusing on and obsessing with the needs of your ideal customer, then you're going to be able to drive that value. And you're going to be the one that they think of when they need something in your category. And the third thing that I need you to do is start obsessing on delivering tremendous value to that ideal customer. What can you give your ideal customer that they're not getting today? How do you connect with them on an emotional level? Obsessing about delivering tremendous value to your ideal customer is about sort of, it's going back to that first part. If you know who they are, right? Then you know what they need, then how do you deliver way more value than they could reasonably expect from you? You want to be unreasonable and how you deliver value to your customer. Because the more value you can provide, the farther you can go. When you just keep giving, right? They're gonna respond to that. Because most people just do what they're paid to do and they move on. And so when you pay fee for service, I bought X and I got Y, there's not a lot of value in that, right? Which means you can easily be replaced. If you're having problem with turnover in your business, and then oftentimes your business has been commoditized. That means you're just like everybody else. If you obsess about delivering tremendous value to your ideal customer, it's about going above and beyond. How do you do those things that are just more than they could possibly expect? And I'm thinking about this in the context of just seeing where the opportunities are, anticipating those needs, and fulfilling them on every level. You think about sort of the what your customers need on a personal level. What about their families? What about their friends? How can you do what you do in new and interesting ways? How can you get them to basically be raving fans? And I don't mean someone who's just going to refer you some business. I mean over the top. Think about Zappos for a second. You know, Zappos sells shoes straight up, right? You go online, you buy a pair of shoes, they send them to your house. Everybody is focused on sort of the fact that they give away two-way free shipping, right? Free shipping to your house and free shipping back. But that's not why they are growing as successfully as they have, and they will continue to do so. They obsess about the happiness level of their ideal customer, right? And they are not just delivering shoes, they're delivering happiness. And specifically, they're focusing on what can I do to make my customer happier every time they interact with me. It's brilliant. They changed the entire industry just by switching out the way that they do their call centers. Most call centers obsess about the number of minutes they spend on the phone with the customer. So they're trying to get people off as quickly as possible. But they're measuring the wrong thing. Zappos came in and said, you know what? I don't care how much time you spend with the customer. I don't care if it's 2 minutes or 2 hours. But ultimately, when they pick up the phone and call us, they want to leave happier than when they first started. That's what I mean by obsessing on delivering tremendous value to your ideal customers. They could have easily just stopped at selling shoes, but they didn't. And they've been rewarded tremendously. So I want you to think about, how do you tell your story? Really get deep with what you're about. What's your why? Why should someone buy from you than anyone else? That story matters more than you can possibly know. And then I want you to get crystal clear on your ideal customer. Who is it? What do they look like? If 20% of your customers are responsible for 80% of your profits, you better damn well know who those 20% are. And then I want you to start obsessing on delivering tremendous value to that ideal customer. What specifically do you need to do to exceed every possible expectation that they have of you? And if you tell your story, get crystal clear on your ideal customer, and start obsessing on delivering tremendous value to your ideal customer, that's real marketing. I'm Bill Carmody. I'm the Marketing Whisperer.